Joel, let's get started. I'd like to introduce Joel Geikwad. He's a biology professor here, and as you see, teaching everything in biology at Oral Roberts University, originally from India. And his talk is on biotechnology, genetic engineering, or playing God?
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate that very much. I'm going to set my timer so it goes off about 5 minutes earlier. Don't be alarmed.
Oh, so I don't have to wait, huh?
Exactly. Okay. I don't have to wait. Let me go to get started. Good morning and thanks for coming. I have two problems. The two problems are that I'm speaking, of course, it's to a friendly crowd, but the problem is you are more intelligent than I am, and my accent is a second problem. I have an exotic Indian accent, as you can tell. I'm trying to speak slow and a little bit with less accent. I've got to imitate the British accent if I can. But if not, don't worry about it. It's going to be more technical, but I'm going to make it like a little bit easier so that you can understand what I'm saying as far as possible. Okay. But if you have any questions, I want you to ask questions in the middle of the thing. It's okay. I'm okay with that. Okay. I don't want to finish the talk. So my talk is biotechnology, genetic engineering, or playing God. What do you mean by that? This is not working. Okay, I don't like this. Let's see. This should work actually, but it's not.
Is that one working?
No, let me see. Give me 1 minute.
Oh, you've got your own device.
Let me see if it recognize it. It's not recognizing, but it's okay. I can walk a little bit around in here. All right. Let's go and see. This is a well set explanatory cartoon itself. You can see that we have some surgeons, Sam, standing around. There's a nurse, and there is a patient lying down, and they say, "I have decided to play God today. I hope you don't mind." Okay, and that is the place where we live actually in today's day and world. Of course, no one can miss this. This is a very one of the best pictures from the art of Michelangelo, in which you can see that the creation of Adam, and I like the scripture in which it says Genesis that, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. I love this scripture very much. I'll kind of touch base upon this one as we go along a little bit in here. People that are fans of Shakespeare, I used to read them a lot. Oh, wonder how many godly creatures are here, how beauteous mankind is, oh, brave new world. That is the brave new world we live in today's day, with the science, technology, and engineering that we are facing in this day and age. This is not new to us, actually. If you look at it, J.B.S. Haldane in 1924 actually had made some absolutely incredible predictions. He said that biologists would invent new algae to feed the entire population of the world. We are almost close to that actually. Okay? And then we will have ectogenetic children that will be created in a test tube. We are already there. Okay? We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Huxley in 1932 wrote a novel called The Brave New World, in which he envisioned the creation of ectogenetic children that were different. He made them alpha, beta, and gamma. I'm not going to go into that. If you read that book, you know what I'm talking about. Of course, one of the first favorite movies is Gattaca. If you have seen that, I own it. If you want to borrow it, more than welcome to do that. We talk about genetics, about how we can compartmentalize people. Your DNA will tell you, you can be a professor or you can be a garbage collector. Okay, that's what the DNA is telling you. I'm going to skip to that. Let's go back to genetic engineering. It's actually rooted in science fiction. It's rooted in science fiction. If you look at it, Jack Williamson was the first one actually to coin the word, this particular thing that we use, genetic engineering, in his work in Dragon's Island. That was in 1952, even before the work of DNA was published by John Watson and Crick in 1953, before we knew the function of DNA. And in 20 years, Boyd and Stanley were the first one to introduce a gene from a human into an organism called as E. coli. Now, that was the birth of what we call genetic engineering. That was the birth. I'm going to kind of, it's a little bit hodgepodge, but make sense at the end of it. Now, the question comes is that with this engineering techniques, are designer babies a reality, is a fiction, or it's a myth? Okay, and at the end, you will know that it's a possibility. It's a very good letter. I think I'm going to read it, but I'm going to punctuate it with at certain parts. So please bear with me. This is a letter written to Mother Nature. Sorry to disturb you, but we humans, your offsprings, come to you with some things to say. You have raised us from simple self-replicating chemicals to trillion cell mammals, which I don't believe, because go back to Genesis, and that's what my cue is. What you have made us is glorious, yet deeply flawed. I don't believe. Look at Psalms 139. We are actually wonderfully made in his image. We no longer tolerate tyranny of aging and death. Hebrews 9:27, for it is appointed for man once to die. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes when we talk about the new genetic engineering methods. Through genetic alterations, cellular manipulations, synthetic organs, and any necessary means, we will endow ourselves with enduring vitality and remove our expiration date. It's a very strong letter. I'm going to skip this one. Isn't this funny that many times we try to live vicariously through our children? Okay? I'm an equal opportunity offender. Okay? So I'm going to offend everybody in this room in the next 15 minutes. You wanted to be a surgeon for the rest of your life, you don't have the skills. So you want your son to be a doctor, an actor, or a lawyer, or an athlete. That's what you wanted you to become, your children wanted to become. Now that is possible, actually. Now, it is your choice. It's your choice. Have anybody in this room been to a place called as a Build-A-Bear?
Yeah.
I have been. It's in Tulsa Hills Mall. Go there. You pay about $15 and you can make a bear of your choice. Okay? I made a bear with my daughter, and she said at the end, "Dad, this doesn't look like a bear." I said, "I have the choice to do anything, correct? I paid $30, correct? You can do anything you want to do. You can take the features of Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, or whatever you want to do. We have the tools to do that. If you have the tools, does it mean you have to do it? That is a question. The first day of talk on Friday, I apologize, I don't remember the name of the gentleman who gave the talk in the same room. He talked about the fight between the church and science. I have news for him. In fact, that is not correct, not the speaker, the person who was giving those ideas. In fact, Gregor Johann Mendel was a priest. He was a pastor in an Austrian monastery. He was the first person to give us the basic of biology of genetics. We would have never been where we are without his contributions today. Okay, I will go to the details, but he gave us two contributions, which is number one, is that we have called as law of independent assortment and law of dominance. In English, what it means is that all your characteristics, all your features are basically embedded in what is called as the DNA, which happens to be the blueprint of your life. Okay? Now, in 1953, this is John Watson and Francis Crick, they get the Nobel Prize to determine the structure of DNA. What is the structure of it? Of course, they stole the word. It's a different story. But that changed biology completely. Completely changed biology. Okay? That discovery. What is DNA? Now, DNA is, for other people, it is the blueprint of life. To me, it is the language of God. God speaks. He doesn't speak Hebrew. He doesn't speak Spanish. He doesn't speak Marathi, Mr. Ben. He speaks DNA. That's what he speaks, DNA. That is, what is DNA? It is a complete set of information that tells you what you're going to look like, okay? What your features are going to be, okay? If I change one set of nucleotides in the DNA, that has an application. It will change many things in the organism or in the human being. That is the power of DNA. quickly shifting some gears very, very quickly, as we're talking about genetic engineering or playing God, I'm going to use in vitro fertilization as a classical case. Now, in the earlier days, actually, the act of making babies was restricted only to the bedroom. Okay, that's how we made normally babies. But in this day and age, we have moved that from the bedroom to the laboratory. Okay, we make babies in the labs and not in the bedrooms anymore. Now, that is called as ART, which stands for Artificial Reproductive Technology. That's where we are going right now. Very quick history so that I don't have much time. 1700, John Hunter actually was the first surgeon to carry out what is called as artificial insemination. Okay, was successful, followed by William Pankhurst, which did an unethical work which should not be done. He modified the procedure and impregnated a girl who was unconscious or under anesthesia, and she gave birth to a person whom she didn't want to. Okay, but that was actually the birth of what is called as ART, or artificial reproductive technology. This is a multi-billion dollar business today, all across the world. India is a hub of that technology right now. India is a hub of this technology. It's a multi-billion dollar business. Okay, IVF stands for in vitro fertilization. That means you're going to take the act from the bedroom, and a guy wearing a white coat is going to do that for you in a dish. That is called as in vitro fertilization. The first in vitro fertilization baby was born in 1978-79 to Leslie Brown. She was not able to conceive a baby, got in touch with this guy, Robert Edwards, and he was the first one actually to do this process called as in vitro fertilization for her. And this baby was born. This is actually the girl, and her name was Louis. The first baby on this planet to be born by in vitro fertilization. Of course, the church had a field day. They were saying that, does she have a soul? I'm not going to talk about that. All right? Now, she gave birth to a normal baby, but normal baby, okay? No. So that was changed biology completely, okay? Of course, theology too. He got the Nobel Prize in 2010. Keep that in mind, 2010, between 2015 now, okay? Let's go to Dolly. And I don't know how people remember Dolly. Dolly was the first sheep, correct? Made by a completely different procedure. Completely different procedure. Basically, we have a mechanism by which we can regenerate our tissue, especially skin, okay, or many other tissues, of course. Now, if you have a cut or a bruise, if the skin cell is hurt or injured, that skin cell will repair itself and give rise to only a skin cell, okay? Now, these people were trying to make a sheep from a different technology. How did they do that very, very quickly? Okay, I'm going to go to the next slide very quickly. This is what they did. Okay, for those people who are a little bit not in biology side. They took sheep number one, which was black in color, intentionally, of course, so that they can figure it out. And they took an epithelial cell, which is called as the udder cell, from the bottom of her udder, and they took the nucleus out from this cell. So this cell now has no nucleus. Then they take sheep number two, the egg from this, then remove this nucleus from this particular cell, which is a white in color, this sheep. They take the nucleus from the black, put it in this, and they strike the lightning bolt of Zeus on it. Okay? Because they have to do that somehow, right? So that basically tells the cell to divide and multiply and create an embryo. Now they take this and put it in a third shape, which happens to be again white in color, because you have to figure out if it's working or not. And eventually, this black sheep actually is born, which becomes black in color. This is the method they used. Okay? And lo and behold, first Dolly was born actually by this method. All right? There's some problems in here very, very quickly. Okay? Now, at 15:30 on Friday 14, 2003, She was put to death. She died. She had to be actually put to death. Why? These are only few diseases she was suffering from. Okay? She had a lot of complications in life. So she had to be put down before she could be do anything in here. Genius babies. Robert Graham, he had a great idea, saying that, you know what, let's go and create a repository for sperms that come from Nobel laureates. And then we can advertise it, saying that we have sperms available from Nobel laureates, and you can have a genius baby. Yeah, all right. This was the advertisement that was actually given on their website or on their brochure. They didn't have a website that time. Saying that Mr. Fuchsia, Olympic gold medalist, tall, dark, and handsome, successful businessman. Okay, now, long story short, only one person was a Nobel laureate that donated his sperms to this bank. But he was too old. Thank God for that. His sperms were not used. But science tells us that 229 babies were created from this particular sperm bank. Okay? Now, nobody knows what happened to them. They were not geniuses anymore. I think I have 10 minutes. I'm going to skip some of them and actually go a little bit further down in here. How is this technique actually improved a lot? Because I'm going to give some time to questions, I know. Let's see what Francis Collins talks about in here. Very interesting. I know how many people know Francis Collins. I love this guy, really good guy. It is so funny that actually he went for a talk one time and he finished his talk and instead of asking questions, he got his ukulele and started singing How Great Is God. He's a funny guy. It's history book. He's talking about actual DNA. It's a history book, a narrative of the journey of species through time. It's a sharp manual with an incredibly detailed blueprint for building every human cell, which is true. And it is transformative textbook of medicine, keep that in mind, with insights that will give healthcare providers immense new powers to treat, prevent, and cure diseases. That is what DNA is to us. Okay. Now to some controversial matters. Just because I have the technology doesn't mean I should do it. Okay? A case in point is this case of Vicky Holliday. She happens to be a UK citizen. Now she suffers from a very unusual disease in which she will not be able to bear children that will go to full term. Okay? It's a defect in the mitochondrial DNA. So she has approached this professor, Doug Turnbull, and he has a method by which he can take the genes of a mitochondria from a different healthy woman, and now we will take the sperm from the father, we'll take the egg from the mother, and then we'll take the DNA from the third person and put it in this one egg and now create a baby that comes from actually three parents. Okay? Has already been approved by the members of parliament in UK. This baby, if everything goes well, will be born in 2016. Okay? This is a procedure used, but I'm not going to go over it, how it is done. Okay? Gene editing. This is the latest controversial subject which is on the minds of everybody right now. Okay? It is called a gene editing, which means now I have a tool, in fact, I have it today in my lab. I haven't used it yet. I can edit any gene that I'm interested in. Okay? I can take some things out, I can put some things in. Okay? Now that technology is actually called as CRISPR. Okay? I'm not talking about chips. Okay? It's a CRISPR. This CRISPR is a natural mechanism present in bacteria that is used to basically have immunity. Now, scientists have harnessed this information, this technology now, to take genes away from you and put genes inside. Okay? Very, very well. Now, please don't get me wrong. We had this technology earlier. Okay? I can take genes out, I can put genes in. We had that technology. But this technology has two advantages. It is very cheap, and it is reasonably accurate. I'm not saying 100% accurate, but it is very, very accurate. Okay? Now, scientists have already used this technology in many, many places other than human embryos. Okay? Of course, humans have not been modified yet. Okay? They have modified monkeys. A Chinese group has done that. They have removed 3 genes out. They have put new genes in. They have been already done in monkeys. They have done in fruit flies, Drosophila. They have done in plants, animals. Everything has been done. So they know this technology works. This is how it works, okay? This enzyme is called caspase 9. So what basically it does is that it is able to target a specific part of your DNA. So if I don't want this part of DNA, I design a tool that it will take that part of DNA, remove it, and I have also a choice to put any piece of DNA that I want to put in. So if I want my children to look like Angelina Jolie, I can take the genes that are that quality and put it back in my kids. Okay? Now that is a CRISPR technology. Now, I'm not going to go over this one. I'm sorry. I'll come back to the similar questions in here. Now, we have already done lots of things in here. Okay? We have modified animals. We have modified plants. We already have glowing fish. You can buy that in a pet store. They're available, genetically modified. We have green pigs. We have pink pomegranates. Now, using this technology I talked about, we have already found a cure for hemophilia, a blood disorder. We have already found that if I can use this technology, nobody in this world has to suffer from HIV. Okay? We already know that now. Just yesterday's news, actually in Science Journal, they found a gene in C. elegans, it's a worm, that if I remove a particular 2 genes from that, I can double the lifespan of this animal. It's a worm, of course, not an animal. Okay? Now, I have all this available to me. Now, if I have these tools available to me, can I increase my lifespan? Can I become immortal by doing this? Okay? Do I want to have all these things done or not? Yes, we have genetically modified plants. We have animals. What about modifying human beings? What about that? What are the moral and ethical questions surrounding that? Social, religious aspects of that one. We have an expert actually who is a bioethicist right amongst our midst. Okay? I think I'm going to give some time for questions. And that ends my talk. I know I babbled, I ran like crazy because I have too many slides and I have the time. Okay? Time for questions. Yes, sir.
Hey, Joel, I've been kind of wondering in these IVF babies, has anybody followed them and looked at their health in terms of long term? It seems like we're really good at, whether it's marijuana use or whatever, we jump on a bandwagon, let's do it, it looks good, but we never really think clearly about the long term consequences. They were interviewing somebody on NPR that was an IVF baby, and I'm just wondering, they get 40 or 50, 60, is there any public health work?
Very good. I think they have done some studies on some of the IVF babies, and they seem, as far as today, the science tells them that they are reasonably healthy babies. They don't suffer from any other disease that you and I are going to suffer if we are normal babies. Nothing like the Dolly factor. The reason the Dolly factor is that I didn't mention because it comes from a udder of the cow, and say for example, if the cow, the sheep was, say for example, 30 years old, the cell is 30 years old to begin with. You see? So I'm starting my clock at 30 and not at 0 or 1. So that is a problem. And plus, it took 246 attempts to make dollar.
Yeah.
Okay? Which I don't go into. Okay. Any other questions?
Yes. How close again is technology to doing some gene modifications that affect humans? You mentioned
they're already
bees.
There. They're already there.
There.
Yes, yes, like all of this I talked about has already been done. They have used human embryos, but they have not been put in a human being yet. Okay, so they have created monkeys using monkey embryos. So they have created, the Chinese group actually published their work in 2013. So this technology is already in there. They have already created this. Everything is,
yeah.
I have the thing available in Walmart. All I have to do is just use it and buy it.
What did they change in the monkeys?
I don't remember the stuff. They changed the immune system. So they actually removed an immune gene from them so that they become more sick. And in second ones, actually, they put it back in the other embryos. They actually played with three different genes. I don't remember the other two genes. Okay. Yes, sir.
So why not? Would you have an answer to that?
Which part?
Why not do these genetic modifications on people?
It's
just sort of a practice of medicine.
Yes, I think Dr. Breckenridge is in our midst. I think he will tell you that I teach in his class once in a while, in ethics class. I normally don't tell my personal opinions on that, but I'll tell you what it is. You can use this technology to cure diseases. I'm okay with that because the Bible tells us that, you know, all things come from God, is created by Him. Health is okay. I don't like it when you are going to have this thing, what is called as a germline transformation. So if I get some, I don't want enhancements, okay? I don't want to become 7 feet tall. Okay, you see what I'm saying, okay? But if I can have a society in which I don't want to get HIV infections, or I can cure hemophilia, or I can cure something else, and that actually dies with that person, it is not transmitted from generation to generation to generation, I'm okay with that, okay? Now, that is a problem with the three babies, or the three parent baby I talked about. Now, that DNA is going to be transferred from generation to generation to generation to generation. You see? Yes, I have the technology, but where do I draw the line? So that is the main question. Yes, ma'am.
Bill Rowdy gave this fascinating talk. I don't know if he's here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's right here. Yeah, on the intersex children, people, where their X and Y chromosomes that determine their gender is relatively all mixed up. He had a million combinations of things that, but I was convinced by your talk that these are real people with real souls and real feelings and so on and so forth. And here we have this technique that deals with, should we fix those people? How's that for a bioethics question?
We have two bioethicists actually amongst our midst. Yes, sir.
I'll just mention two books for people interested in this topic. One would be Ann Dollar, Westminster John Knox Press. She has Osteo Imperfecta, where her bones
yes.
just snap simply.
Correct.
And she had to think through, I have a 50-50 chance my children will inherit this. But this
definitely, that is correct.
For genetic germline intervention, to pass that on to your children.
Yes.
And I blushed the second one, Changing Human Nature in Erdmann's.
Uh-huh.
Is a book I wrote that goes on for 400 pages about these topics. Take a look at that.
Yeah, I think, let me make a plug in here very quickly. I think the technique to develop DAWN is already there, but we have a SAC committee, which is actually part of, US is part of that. They have a moratorium. They're saying that you will not use this technology to create human beings. And as of today, no one has done that. No one has done that except for this guy who claimed he had done it, but it was a hoax. Okay? He was an idiot, actually. I should not say that. But he said that he had made a human being called as Eve, the first human clone using the DNA technology. But now, so the same thing happened with CRISPR. So hopefully the scientific, they're only talking about it. They're only talking, saying that, okay, I can use this technology to create an embryo that will have all these enhanced things available to me. Is it ethical to do that? Just because I have the tools, should I do that? You know, and what are the rights of the baby? Does the baby want it? You see that? So all it opens up what I call as the Pandora's box. I'm very hopeful that the scientific community will show the restraint that they have shown in the case of Dolly's technology.
Does the baby want vaccines?
No, they don't want vaccines. But again, the baby doesn't want vaccines, but the thing is that if you don't get vaccines, you'll have children with polio. You see that? What do you do? You have to, right now we have an epidemic of other diseases. You see, I know the baby doesn't want it. I'm not going to enhancements. You see? But if you can cure a disease using technology, I can go for it. Okay, I may be, as I told you, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I am for health. But as long as you are not changing the characteristics of a human being at an embryo and transmitting, and plus again, what happens if this technology is more expensive? Only the haves can achieve it. What happens to the guy who is homeless? You see, now that is a problem we have. Yes, sir.
I'm in the Christian Transhumanist Association, so I have a different kind of perspective. But I guess I would want to question whether to the thing about, you know, polio and so forth, whether it makes sense to say, well, we're okay with curing something, but we're not okay with curing it for the next generation and the next generation. And I think, not to minimize all the ethical concern for that, but I think that it doesn't seem like we should fundamentally say, well, it's okay to cure our children, but not our grandchildren. The other thing I would question would be whether we can really draw such a hard and fast line between health and enhancement. Because it seems like a lot of those things are on a spectrum. And it just seems like that's not a line that we can actually hold over time.
Yeah, let me give a classical example. For example, now I think you know that people do that. You heard of, what's this guy named? The guy who was put out of his throne, the guy who was doing cycling.
Hans Armstrong.
He was doing doping, correct? Now, we have a gene that actually controls how much of oxygen I consume and things like that, correct? Now, what happens if an athlete, because, see, I cannot, there is no signature for DNA. My DNA is same like your DNA, correct? Now, what happens if I do an announcement in somebody saying that, you know what, he's a super athlete? Now, the question is it ethical to do that? So we need to draw a line somewhere. I honestly believe in that. You may not agree, but I think we need to draw a line saying that, okay, what is, where do you draw the line? You see that? Yes, curing HIV is okay, curing hemophilia is all right, polio is okay, but I don't want an enhancement because I think that is just not right. Because again, I believe in that saying that, you know what, I think you are unique as you're created, okay? You are unique as your creator. You don't want anything more than that. I think very, very quickly, my son was asking me, saying that, okay, I'm just joking. He's saying that, okay, if he have, he also have his ears pierced. I said, no, son. He said, I told him, because the Lord has put the right holes in the right place where they belong. You see what I'm saying? Okay? So you don't want any extra holes in your body to get the point across. You see what I'm saying? Okay? Yes, sir.
I think it will be very important to present this information in an adequate way for the church, for the pastors, because I know some pastors that really have freaked out with all this information of genetic engineering, and they confuse a lot of things.
Yeah, thank you very much.
In my experience, I was teaching a biology course in an evangelical university, and when I got into the topic of genetics, I asked the students to do research on in the media of about this topic, and I did it myself, and when I look in YouTube, just the word genetic, I found out a sermon of a pastor, a very well-known pastor in Mexico, and his topic was, the genetics is from Satan. And, well, I tried to hear that, and he just confused everything. on hell and enhancement. But what his conclusion is that scientists are evil, they are playing God, yeah. And that is the science of the coming of the Antichrist. And I was surprised, why? Because that was something of the first thing that you find out in YouTube, and God, that confused everybody.
No. I think scientists are not evil people, because I'm a scientist. Okay, but what happened to me? I'm actually a Christian who happens to be a scientist. I believe in all those areas. I think the technology is available to all the people, but we are still showing restraint. And again, this is a very, very delicate issue. I think it's moral issues, ethical issues, religious issues all come into play. What do we do with this technology? Where do we stop? And that is the question actually we have to answer, and not other people.
I will just share one thing. I have a personal interest in this, in that my daughter-in-law was born in 1989 as an IVF baby. So her mother had fertility issues, and they're getting ready to start their family. So we will find out soon whether or not she's able to bear children in the way that the vast majority of women can, or whether she's going to have perhaps a genetic, they never researched terribly greatly what her mother's problem was, but we don't know if that problem her mother had is going to be passed to her. So we're kind of waiting to see what God's going to show us from some little natural experimentation, probably starting in the bedroom, actually.
All right, guys. Any other questions, any other comments?
Okay, well, let's thank Dr.
Thank you very much, guys.